Hi, this is Mark Sanborn with an audio blog, 7 Strategies for Successful Meetings. I've spent most of my professional life in meetings. Now, I know you probably feel you have too, but I'm serious. As a professional speaker for the past 24 years, I've made a living attending and speaking at meetings. Some small, some large, some gigantic. If you add in the more typical client meeting or staff meeting where I'm not giving a speech, it's safe to say that I'm kind of a meeting maven. I know from firsthand experience what works and what doesn't. Recently, in the last 18 months, meetings have gotten a bad rap, going back to the economic meltdown and the extravagances of AIG and others. But meetings done right are not only effective and should produce results, but I think they're necessary. They play an important role in the success of any organization. They allow people to connect, to engage, and to share ideas. Meetings hold the potential for teaching skills and disseminating best practices. This audio blog will be a crash course about 7 things you can do to make your meetings more effective and successful, whether that meeting is a big corporate offsite or a small staff meeting. The principles are the same. Number 1, be clear on outcomes. I'm amazed at how often clients inquire about having me speak, but they're unclear about what they want my presentation and the meeting to accomplish. That's why I always use this question. At the end of the meeting, what do you want the attendees to think, feel, and do? Good meetings are designed around changing or impacting what people think, creating positive emotions, and giving them actionable ideas that they can implement. You can use that same question not just to design a presentation, but to design the meeting. If you don't have good outcomes in mind, or if the outcomes aren't worth the cost of holding the meeting, then you should rethink your course of action. Number 2, approach your meeting as an integrated whole rather than just connected bits. Everything that happens in a meeting should complement, support, and leverage everything else that happens. In writing, we use what is known as a segue, that is a way to transition smoothly between ideas. You need to use the same approach in designing your meeting. The order of your meeting is important, but so is the way you go from one presentation or one topic to another, so that people can logically understand how it's all connected. The key is always to start strong and to end strong. Now, of course, you want the entire meeting to be strong, but the primacy and the recency effect say that people are most impacted by what they first hear and what they last hear. So a strong beginning and a strong close are critical. Number 3, for those people who are participating in the meeting, establish an expectation of preparation. That means not just preparation for the presenters, but preparation for the audience. What should the people who are attending, who aren't actively involved in the meeting, how should they prepare? What should they be thinking about? What should shape their thinking as they watch the meeting unfold? And of course, when it comes to the presenters, and I talk about this in my book, The Encore Effect, remember, only amateurs wing it. Pros prepare. The best way to keep a presentation or a meeting from flopping is to be overly prepared, to make sure that you're completely comfortable and well-rehearsed in what you're going to say or do. And that leads me to my 4th point, encourage practice. If you have presenters, go over their PowerPoint presentation or their outline and/or their script. Offer feedback or suggestions about how they can improve what they're going to be presenting or doing. And of course, as obvious as this seems, make it easy for people to practice. Provide time before the meeting for them to be comfortable with the room and the environment and any other logistics that are necessary for a successful outcome. Number 5, be relentless on your timeline or your schedule. The only thing the average meeting attender has less of than disposable income is disposable time. And the only thing they've got less of than disposable time is attention. You need to honor time commitments. Good meetings start on time and end on time. And as simple as that sounds, that is probably one of the most violated principles of a successful meeting. Meetings start late, people go over, meetings run long, and people in the audience, as well as the presenters, lose their enthusiasm. When people present, unless they're true professionals, keep in mind they tend to lose a sense of time. Sometimes presenters go too short, but more often than not, I've observed people go too long. I've seen people be given 10 minutes on a program, speak for 40, come off stage, and actually think they went short. I'm not sure what happens, but the reality is you've got to give people not only a timeline, but if possible, a timer, so they know where they're at in their presentation, and they can gauge from a 2-minute warning perhaps, whether that's a sign held up or someone in the front row to let them know they need to be wrapping up. Now, what if you got an executive that's going too long? I think it's important to say to any executive presenter who might have more organizational power than you do, do you want this meeting to stay on time or do you want flexibility in your presentation? And you can diplomatically let them know that if they don't stick to their timeline, it's going to impact not only the meeting but all the other presenters. In other words, let them be the one that decide whether or not their own agenda is more important than the overall outcome of the meeting. That's why I say to be relentless on your timeline or your schedule. That's the fifth strategy. Number six, and maybe one of the most overlooked strategies of all, promote interaction. Breaks are important not just so people can meet physiological needs, but so that they can meet psychological needs. Meetings that are too full or too jam-packed with content don't allow people time to interact. I think more and more effective meetings will use facilitated debriefings and discussions to take what was presented and to narrow it down to the individuals and the teams in the room so that they're completely clear on how that information and how those presentations are relevant. And finally, the seventh strategy, end with a call to action. If you begin your planning by knowing what you want people to think, feel, or do, end your meeting by making it crystal clear what they need to do after they leave. Don't leave it up to them. Don't leave it to their imagination. Don't think they'll have figured it out on their own. Be clear on the actionable things that should occur once the meeting is over. Those are seven simple strategies, but I guarantee you, after a career spent attending meetings, if you do those seven things, any meeting, large or small, will be more successful, more effective, and produce more results. This has been Mark Sanborn with an audio blog. Visit my website, www.marksanborn.com.